All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. As always, hope everybody's doing good. Be blessed in Jesus. My name, news alert, we have been raided by the McGroin Nation. Seeing all kinds of new McGroins in here tonight. Love you guys. Really, really do. I mean this. May not hear it enough. Just know that it's sincere. Really, really appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody in the chat. 566 so far. You never know. We might break some records tonight. I'm going to launch with this. I didn't want to talk about this. I really did not. Not for any other reason except it's already been dissected ad nauseum. The whole Mark Driscoll thing. The whole men's conference. The stronger men's conference debacle that happened. I really didn't want to get into it. Not because I'm afraid of offending any pastors or don't want to talk bad about other Christians or whatever it is. I've talked bad about lots and lots of Christians, especially during COVID. And by name, a lot of them, God kind of told me to stop with the naming of people. But this, of course, is national news all over social media. My friend Sean, I see Sean just popped onto the chat. He was asking me earlier today, Sean, I'm giving you credit. You're the one who enticed me to talk about this. I really didn't want to talk about it. But not again, just because everybody's already seen it. And who really wants to know my opinion about it? I don't know. So I'm going to give you my opinion. I plan on talking about this quickly. Heather just laughed. Aaron's laughing. I plan on talking about this quickly because everybody has already seen it. But let's just start. We'll start with the it's a compilation video. Because what you had here was you had a Moldovian sword swallowing male stripper.
Yes.
do a semi, not really striptease, but tore his shirt off in a male stripper kind of way, and then slid up and down a pole with a sword in his mouth. Now, just to lay the groundwork for some of this stuff, just so everybody knows where I stand, I'm not much of a men's conference guy.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I'm not much of a men's conference guy. The only men's conference that I go to is Pastor Rodney's at the River, and really the only reason why I go is because he's speaking or Jonathan Shuttlesworth is speaking. So that's really why I go, not because it's a men's thing, because I go to every conference that's at the River. So not a big men's conference guy. Even, you know, when I was a bachelor, it was never men's night out. My nights out were with a woman normally. So, I mean, yeah. I was dating women. So I like to be around women and not just, you know, have a sword convention. But anyway, you know, as applicable to this particular video. So anyway, so he launches with this Moldovian, and if you really want a really good breakdown on it, go to Jonathan Shuttlesworth. Really, I mean, if you want a funnier breakdown, because I, of course, am going to list towards the serious on it, because you're going to have to deal with the failures that occurred here. I failed. Everybody's failed. You know, it is what it is. But anyway, so here's the video, kind of as a compilation of what happened. Stripper comes up first. Sword swallower comes up first. Then Mark Driscoll addresses it. John Lindell from James River Church, Mark Driscoll from Trinity Church in Arizona, and John Lindell from James River Church. John Lindell is the one who, both of them mega church pastors, John Lindell puts on this conference. It's huge. Huge names come there. I'm not saying whether the conference is good or bad or anything else, but yeah, the stripper comes up, and then later Mark Driscoll addresses it, and then John Lindell tells Mark that he's out of line and tells him that he's done. And then they have like a meeting afterwards. All right, we'll break it down. Play for me, Heather.
But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burnt for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in a strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus Christ, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
So I'll launch my dissertation with Danson McGroin. By the way, vertical poles are excellent for fitness. Thank you, Danson. Appreciate you. ask me about my groin. Thou shalt obey the poles. So anyway, let's hop right through this. So where did this all go off the rails? All right, now. Again, part of the problem here is a lack of discernment. And I'm not going to virulently attack these churches. I can tell you that neither one of these churches are COVID-slaying churches. All right? So these are not people that stood like they should have during COVID, to my knowledge. Now, Mark Driscoll, I don't know about for sure. But since I've never heard about him standing up strong and keeping his church open, I'm assuming that he didn't the way that he should have. All right. John Lindell, never heard about him. So I'm assuming he didn't either. So I guess I should say that these are assumptions. When you don't know that you're supposed to keep your church open in accordance to the word of God, Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. When you don't know that whatever you bind is bound and whatever you loose is loosed. When you don't know that you are receiving orders from an antichrist spirit coming out of the CDC, FDA, NIH, and AID, you don't know these things, and you don't know that you're not supposed to mask, not supposed to take 9 vaccinations, 10th coming in the fall. You don't know these things. You close your churches. You pimp vaccines. You wear masks. You stand 6 feet apart. All those orders are coming from the antichrist baby butchering, baby slaughtering globalist left. You don't get that. You have a propensity to put a Moldovan sword swallowing Vegas stripper at your men's comp. See, I wanted to go short and I meant to be nice.
Just do it.
The thing is, I've tried to be nice. I mean, I really do because. And then, okay, so let's go through this tactically step by step. You have all these guys booing John Lindell. Are they correct? No. You're at a men's conference with allegedly these are all Christians. You're booing John Lindell for kicking Driscoll off the stage. John Lindell is correct for kicking him off the stage, but let's backtrack. How could he be right? How could he be wrong? Because Mark Driscoll was right. Mark Driscoll was right, but doing it wrong. It's just like you can be right and gossip. You are still now operating in hellbound sin. Just because you're factually correct doesn't mean you're supposed to say it. Now, let's go over this now. So I don't know how much of the video y'all could hear or whatever else. Mark Driscoll knew about this. Obviously, the stripper thing happened the day before because Mark was up all night praying over it. So I guess Mark never has heard of Mark 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. John Lindell was very instrumental in the restoration of Mark Driscoll's ministry. Mark Driscoll went to him after the Mars Hill situation, which, by the way, Mark Driscoll never should have left Mars Hill.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go short, but I'm just not going to be able to. I'm just going to do what I got to do. So just, I hope this doesn't bore you. 712 people on. This doesn't have anything to do with the stuff that's going on. I didn't even include this in the title because I wasn't going to talk about it, but felt compelled to. Sean, you're a part of that. So Mark Driscoll left that church because he was caught just having a talking in, at the time, chat rooms under a different identity.
Yeah.
Saying chauvinistic sort of things. No affairs, no corruption. I think Mark Driscoll's a good person. Okay, I do. So, but he left Mars Hill because basically his board was kind of pushing him out. He should have told him to go pound sand and kept his church because the entire church doesn't even exist anymore, to my knowledge. So the whole church collapsed when he left, and now he has a very successful church. I believe it's in Flagstaff or something like that, Arizona. Yeah. It's in Arizona, but I'm not sure where. Trinity Church. And Mark Driscoll preaches a pretty decent gospel, all right? Pretty decent. So, but before this, before he comes up to speak, obviously he had about 24 hours. He never says a word to John Lindell that he's going to say this. Now, what he said was he wasn't planning on saying it. So if you, once you get on the stage and you weren't planning on saying it, guess what? Aaron, what do you think? Guess what?
What?
You don't say it. If you weren't planning on saying it before you go on the stage, then you don't say it. What's the reason why I'm telling you that? Well, because him and John, Pastor John, who's running, this is John Lindell's Stronger Men's Conference, which Mark has been invited to be a guest speaker. So the person who's pastoring this conference, the person who's paying for this conference, and you had to pay like $130 to get in, and the person probably paying Mark Driscoll to be there, this person is in charge of this conference. Pastor John Lindell is in charge of this conference. So if Mark wants to talk about it, this subject matter about a Jezebel spirit being released into the men's conference, which, by the way, he's correct. But he didn't preach the correct message correctly. And it's very important. Right before this, Mark and John were talking to each other for a half an hour right before Mark went onto the stage. He could have told him anytime in the 24 hours up to the half an hour long conversation, never did. And then he had a half an hour conversation with John right before going on stage and never did. That does not speak well to your character. It's as if you are trying to make a splash. What he was supposed to do, according to Matthew 18:15, is tell John, this is what I'm going to say. Is that okay with you? And if John said no, John could have said, Mark, you're not going to talk tonight. That's what should have happened. John Lindell should have never had the sword swallower to begin with. That's correct. Then Mark Driscoll handled it the exact diametrically opposing way to Scripture by publicly exposing compromise of the person paying him and the person over this entire event. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother. So Mark was then correctly kicked off the stage. You got to look at it like rotates here. John, incorrect about bringing the Moldovan sword-swallowing stripper, incorrect. Mark Driscoll's response to it was factually correct, but done in an incorrect manner according to Scripture. John then switches back into being correct by kicking Mark off the stage, which was the correct thing to do. And then they did the correct thing by bringing Mark Driscoll back on stage, and they had a conversation in front of everybody where Mark Driscoll apologized for what he did. That's what happened. So Mark Driscoll made it right. So good for him. I've blown it. He's blown it. It's my problem with the modern church. I don't know how much discernment these people have, because just about all of these people, how strong is their gospel message? Is it turn or burn? Is he going to lose your salvation? Are you a Calvinist? Because in the Bible, You can lose your salvation in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 5, titled Warning Against Falling Away. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is titled The Great Falling Away. Well, that's just people who are never saved. How are you never saved when you're falling away? I mean, come on. And how many, do you preach the full gospel? Because if you don't, you've got leaven in the lump, and a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, and you end up with a Moldovan sword-swallowing Vegas stripper at your men's conference. So this summation is what is scripturally correct in the order that I gave you. At the end, they fixed it. Credit to them. I never did hear John Liddell say it was a mistake to bring the Moldovan, sword-swallowing, Vegas stripper to the men's conference. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, because I didn't see the whole conversation. But Mark Driscoll most certainly unapologetically apologized. You know, that's the best way to put it. He absolutely apologized, 100%. So credit to him for that. So that's the summation. That's the biblically correct thing. A couple things off the pregame real quick. On the gas prices thing, where you saw Jean-Pierre being asked about the gas prices. It's amazing what the Biden administration considers to be progress. It really is along the lines of somebody like, you know what? Last year I lost $500,000 gambling, and I'm doing way better this year because I only lost $497,000 gambling. That's the Biden administration. They have the absolute pinnacle of horribleness. And if it's slightly off that pinnacle of horribleness, they consider it to be progress when it's actually continuing to go downhill, but just at a slower rate.
Right.
That's their progress. Things are absolutely slipping into an apocalypse, but at a slower rate. Gas prices being the optimal example. Overall, gas prices are doubled. They're up 52% since Biden took over, but they're down 2-3% from this time last year. And Karine Jean-Pierre considers that to be progress. So they're actually up still 50%. Again, it gets so bad that a little less bad looks good. And it still is no, I mean, when Trump left office, average gas price 180, average gas price today 360, up 50%. And another, I want to always mark Biden first. Had many firsts under the Biden administration, not one good first, not one record border invasions, record fentanyl deaths, record crime. And again, don't let the Democratic Party talking points fool you when it comes to crime. The reason why crime is down is because they're no longer reporting crime nationally. Only 44, there used to be 100% of police agencies had to report all their crime to the DOJ to go on the FBI UCR crime report, Unified Crime Report. Now, they made that optional in 2022. When did the crime come down? Oh, look at that, 2023. Because people are now reporting because what you're really hearing is 2022 and some 2023 crime statistics. Lo and behold, the crime went down once everybody stopped reporting crime. You could have 40 murders in your city and say, we're murder free because nobody reported them, and we've reclassified them from murders to killings. So see, we have no murder. We have killings, but we don't have any murder. See, that's what they did. Only 44% of police agencies now. So 50, think of this, 56% don't abide. Don't report their crime. Don't report all their crime. Only 44% report all their crime data to the UCR crime report. I know I'm being redundant. It's UCR, but I want you to know what it is. Uniform Crime Report. Only 44% of agencies actually report. 32% don't report at all. So think of this. 32% of all police agencies don't report any crime at all. I wonder why murder's down 13%. And what are some of the agencies that don't report? NYPD, New York City doesn't report. Washington, D.C. doesn't report. Los Angeles doesn't report. Chicago doesn't report when they have 50-some-odd shootings per weekend. And Miami doesn't report at all. At all. They don't report any of their crime statistics. So when they tell you that crime's going down, they've lost their minds. Speaking of crime, we have, of course, the Trump trial that began on Monday. And I've been wrong on the Trump trial. I've been giving you wrong information. So I got the right information. So here, practice that now, all you COVID-caving pastors that I know are watching this right now. Practice that. I was wrong. See how that works? I was wrong to whore vaccines from my pulpit. I was wrong to make people stand 6 feet apart and sit in their COVID clumps and wear three masks. I was wrong. Practice it. So I was wrong in what I was telling you about. I had the sort of the right information in the wrong order. So I want to tell you what it was. Trump paid Stormy Daniels $130,000. He did. He paid it 11 days prior to his election. It came out of what money? His personal money. That's absolutely admitted to. That is absolutely confirmed by who? Alvin Bragg. So you who's prosecuting this case? Alvin Bragg, Soros bought and paid for, just like Letitia James, Soros bought and paid for attorneys who don't prosecute any other crime in New York at all. Alvin Bragg reduced 52% of the felonies that came across his desk to misdemeanors. That's why crime's down. See? Lo and behold, it's no longer a murder. It's a killing. So he did, Donald Trump did pay Stormy Daniels. Now, the rumor is, according to Michael Avenatti, and I know this is redundant for those of you that watch this podcast all the time, according to Michael Avenatti, Michael Cohen, Trump's personal attorney, was the one having sex with Stormy Daniels at this time and induced Stormy Daniels to go to Donald Trump and blackmail him out of $130,000. That's according to Michael Avenatti. That Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's alleged affair with Stormy Daniels happened years and years before, and she put out a public statement saying it never happened at all. But just if it did happen, it happened years and years and years before, 11 days prior to the election. But according to Avenatti, Michael Cohen was the one having a sexual relationship with Stormy Daniels at the time of the payment and solicited Stormy Daniels to go and solicit Donald Trump for blackmail money, for extortion money. That's according to Michael Avenatti. And now, of course, Michael Cohen is one of the star witnesses in this, who a federal judge has called a serial perjurer. He's going to be the one. He's the star witness. So the facts of this case, really, you got to tune into people like Mike Davis on this. Fantastic. And Laura Loomer, fantastic on this. Trump paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 11 days prior to his election from his personal finances. This is the charge. Are you ready? This is it. And Alvin Bragg has somehow construed 34 felony charges out of this. Alvin Bragg says that should have been paid out of his campaign account. So he's charging Donald Trump with what it would have been if Donald Trump did it. It would have been a SEC violation. If Donald Trump would have paid Stormy Daniels to silence her about their affair, which never happened, if he was to do that, it would be an SEC violation, an Elections Commission violation. So in order for him not to be charged with a crime, he would have had to commit a more serious crime. That's the whole D if you do, D if you don't problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing he can do about it. And Alvin Bragg has turned this into 34 felony charges. The man who is who lowers 52% of the felonies that come across his desk to misdemeanors, he has managed to stretch this into 34 felony counts against Donald Trump. And by the way, he's charging him with a federal offense, which he's not allowed to do. So how is this not kicked out by Judge Merchan, whose daughter is the president and CEO and owner of a Democratic Party campaign firm that has received $14 million from Adam Schiff alone and has raised $100 million off this case, of which she gets 10%. So Merchan's daughter, Judge Merchan's daughter, has received $10 million from this case, and he refuses to recuse himself. And every day this case goes, because, of course, he wouldn't allow Donald Trump to go to Barron's graduation, won't allow Donald Trump to go to the Supreme Court case having to do with presidential immunity, won't let him go there. He wants to keep him in this trial for 6 to 8 weeks or longer, because every second that this case is going on, his daughter is making hundreds of thousands of dollars. She's raising money. She's already raised $100 million on this. You're like, Tom, that's hyperbolic. It could be $100 million. It's $100 million she's raised on this case already. And she gets at least 10% of that. What does Merchan get, I wonder? I don't know. But it's definitely a true, speaking of cases, it is a true case for recusal. And this case is being run by Alvin Bragg, who's pathetic, stupid, fat, and bought off. We know that. His nickname being Twinkies. His case was ginned up by Matthew Colangelo, third or fourth, depending on how you look at it, in charge of the DOJ, a absolute agitprop for the globalist left and the Democratic Party, was dispatched down to Alvin Bragg because Alvin Bragg had turned down this case because Alvin Bragg can't charge somebody as a Manhattan DA for a federal freaking crime. But they dispatched Colangelo down to Alvin Bragg to revive, according to Mike Davis, this zombie case. And that's all that happened. And then Biden's always saying he's got nothing to do with it. Biden's hands are on every one of these prosecutions. Jack Smith has met with Biden's, well, I'm just going to say Biden. And what I mean by Biden is the Biden administration. Jack Smith has met with Biden. Fannie Willis has met with Biden. Nathan Wade has met with Biden. Letitia James has met with Biden. Alvin Bragg via Matthew Colangelo has met with Biden. All four of these prosecutions, the prosecutors have met with Biden or Biden's team. Every one of them. These are being run out of the White House. When they weren't getting what they wanted, because Alvin Bragg turned it down in New York, the U.S. attorney turned it down, the DOJ turned it down. They're like, crap, we need this case. Why do they need this case? Because they need Donald Trump to be off the campaign trail because the DNC happens in 3 months. They want Donald Trump kept off the campaign trail because Joe Biden is so inept. Joe Biden's so inept, he's talking about freeing Julian Assange, which Trump should have done, which every president should have done whenever he was in prison, or anybody that could have. So that's what's happening in this case. That's it. Donald Trump paid Stormy Daniels 11 days before he became president of the United States. Alvin Bragg says that should have come out of your campaign coffers. How? If he does that, he violates the SEC. He violates SEC campaign rules. I mean, they're not just rules. They're laws. They're felonies. He can't do it. He can't get a haircut on your campaign funds. Can't get plastic surgery. You can't buy groceries. It's supposed to be for campaigns. That's it. Now, of course, Eric Swalwell travels the globe. AOC has had so many campaign violations, I can't keep track of them all. But they're not charged at all. But Donald Trump, somehow, this has been blown up into 34 felonies, all because Alvin Bragg, who didn't want to charge it before, now says that that money should have come out of his account. How would you pay off somebody that you allegedly had an adulterous affair with? It's legal to pay him off, by the way. It's hush money. You're allowed to do it. It's not illegal. How would you pay that out of campaign finances? And what he's saying is that Donald Trump, Alvin Bragg, Twinkies Bragg, can read Donald Trump's mind. He's saying Donald Trump was doing it so that he could become president. That's it. That's the entire case. So Alvin Bragg is able to read Donald Trump's mind and say the reason this should have come out of campaign finances because in Donald Trump's mind, it was going to help him become president. No, I mean, even if it was, it's got nothing to do with it. You can't use campaign finances. Even if it was to help him become president, which it was, it doesn't matter. It still can't come out of campaign finances. If it would help me to get a haircut to become president, I have to pull it out of my campaign funds. If it would help me to lose weight, me get some on diuretics, so I become. If it would help me become president, if I lost some weight, so I can then go on, I can go join a gym on my campaign funds. That's not Alvin Bragg saying. That's how flimsy this case was. That's why nobody would take it. Even Christopher Wray wouldn't take it. Merrick Garland wouldn't take it. The U.S. attorney inside of Manhattan wouldn't take it. And that's who had to take it because it's a federal offense. Alvin Bragg doesn't even qualify to try this case. So let's get into this just a little bit here. Mischief video. Trump attorney Alina Hanna warns There is no chance he will receive a fair trial. Play it for me, Heather.
President Trump's hush money trial is set to resume at 9:30 a.m. in New York City after day one wrapped up with no jurors selected.
Alina Hava is a legal spokesperson for the former president, and she joins us now. Alina, great to have you back on the program. Based upon what happened yesterday, do you think Donald J. Trump will be able to get a fair trial?
No chance. There's no chance of a fair trial here. Remember, just because it's a jury doesn't mean that the judge can't sway them to go one way or another or make things difficult so that jury selection is impossible. That's what's happening yesterday. They spent the first few hours doing things that probably should have been done before a jury was waiting. That discourages jurors to want to sit on a panel. And then they come in and they're told that they can't get off from Passover if they observe it, and that you're going to have no break other than Wednesday in the middle of the week. So that messes up everybody's schedules, and people don't want to sit for that. That's why we saw half of the jurors say that they could not be impartial and want to walk.
So what's your reaction, Alina, to the judge saying, we understand that former President Trump wants to go to the Supreme Court for his other case. It's not going to happen. Might not be able to take off one day to see his son graduate high school. Is it standard for judges to turn requests like that down, or do they make those sorts of accommodations usually?
No, accommodations are always made by judges. That's why you go over the schedule. If there wasn't such a rigid schedule, you wouldn't be doing that in practice. You go over it, you look at holidays, you look at things of that nature. Remember something about this, Carly. This case has been investigated for 8 years. It wasn't brought by Cy Vance, and now DA Bragg is bringing this case after the president had announced that he was running for office again. There's no coincidences here. So now he wants to rush it because November 2024 is an election, and he's probably hoping he's got this in the bag, even though it's on a completely discredited witnesses that we know have perjured themselves. It's ridiculous. So, that's an accommodation that would normally be made. And it's not just a discourtesy to the president. It's to all the people in there, the jurors, the attorneys that observe holidays. Never mind Barron's high school graduate. There's absolutely no rush after 8 years, other than the fact that in November in 2024 is Election Day.
And this is just the same stuff that I've been telling you for a long time. Blue jurisdiction, blue judge, blue jury, blue appellate court, blue jurisdiction. You have absolutely no chance. You have the idiot Republicans of the world, like the Mike Gallagher's and the Ken Bucks, that still want to believe that judges are impartial. They are not impartial. They are partial. You are in a blue jurisdiction with a blue judge, a blue prosecutor, a blue jury, a blue grand jury. Everything's blue. And how many people voted for Donald Trump in New York City? About 13%. 87% of people voted for Joe Biden. You're going to get a fair jury pool. That's why all of these trials that you see, Bannon, D.C., Navarro, D.C., General Flynn, D.C., Jack Smith, even the West Palm Beach case, the classified documents located in Mar-a-Lago, he tried to bring to D.C., but he was blocked from bringing it to D.C. Otherwise, it would be D.C. Alex Jones, Hartford, Connecticut. Alex Jones, Austin, Texas. You can't be any more left-wing than Austin, Texas, unless you're Chicago, Illinois. That's what they're doing. This is the game plan. Haul us in front of blue judges in blue jurisdictions while all the idiots and the little cuck boy Bush people are all saying all these judges are impartial. Oh, really? Just wait till they get to you, because you're just further down the rung than me, but you're still on the rung. Just wait. All right, here's the next one. Sassafras 84 video. Everything about this stinks. Play for me.
All right, Fox News alert, as you are looking live at the courthouse in Lower Manhattan here, as we just got word from the courtroom a short time ago that the judge in the courtroom admonished the former president and his team. The judge said the former president was audibly muttering while a juror was speaking, and the judge said, I won't tolerate that. So that just out of the courtroom, Trace.
Yeah, and the challenge was over the fact that the juror was, they wanted to have a peremptory challenge to excuse the juror because they thought that she said she could be impartial but had social media posts that apparently had her celebrating Trump's loss in 2020. And so they challenged her. The judge said, nope, she can be partial. She stayed.
So you have a social media post. Now, we have our own military that goes around and gets rid of people in the military because they wave an American flag on their social media. So they're considered a white supremacist terrorist and kicked out of the military. So that's what Lloyd Austin does and Joe Biden does. But in this case here, a person, according to Juan Merchan, the judge, according to him, if a jury, potential jury, because that's what it is, jury selection right now. And by the way, they haven't selected one yet as of what I last time I heard. 50 in, 50 out, I believe. But anyway, and they're going to have to. Trump's attorneys are eventually going to have to settle on people who hate Donald Trump because there is nobody else to choose from. And here's a little side note with this. Orthodox Jews are not allowed to be on the jury because they're not going to be dismissed for Passover. Judge Merchan has ruled that, just so everybody knows. That's a court ruling. Why would he not allow? First of all, why did he schedule the trial over Passover? So Orthodox Jews wouldn't be on the jury because Orthodox Jews tend to vote for Donald Trump. And Orthodox Jews know that what's happening right now in Israel wouldn't be happening if Donald Trump was president. So, of course, Merchan, a Democratic Party acolyte and agitprop, he schedules the trial over Passover and has publicly said, no Orthodox Jews allowed because I'm not going to dismiss you for Passover. There you go. But a juror, a potential juror, who has social media posts celebrating Trump losing is not disqualified, according to Merchan. Just because Merchan's own standard is what keeps him from not recusing himself. His daughter has made $100 million off the trial, and every day she'll make another million. Every day she'll make another $2 million. As long as the trial goes, that's why he wants it for 8 solid weeks. And not only that, but Trump's gagged. We all know that. Kyle Becker video, breaking. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. So Donald Trump, get this now, Alvin Bragg files motion to hold Trump in contempt for violating gag order. Now, here's the thing. Laura Loomer said this, but I've said it even, well, no, I'm not saying I said it before her because she may have said it before me or whatever. But anyway, because it's been going on for months. And I said this about the Atlanta trial, the Fannie Willis, Fannie waving her butt all over the place, Willis trial down in Atlanta. Donald Trump should go ahead and commit contempt and let them arrest him. What are you going to do? If you arrest Donald J. Trump, you're going to have to go to Rikers Island and clear the island. According to federal statute, the Secret Service can take over the entire island. Let him arrest him. Go to Barron's graduation, President Trump. Go to the hearing at SCOTUS over presidential immunity. Go there. Let them charge you with the contempt. Let them arrest you. You're going to raise, I'm stealing this. I'm trying to remember who I'm stealing this from. Might be Mike Davis, but I'm not sure. It isn't Mike Davis. There's a guest on War Room today. I give the name, but I can't remember. Listen to way too much stuff, read too much stuff to remember everybody's name. Usually pretty good with it. And if I don't remember it, Aaron always remembers it. But he'll raise $100 million. Let him arrest you again. Put another mugshot out there. Make some more t-shirts. Great. And they won't be able to put you in jail anyway because according to federal statute, he can't be put in jail. Not unless you clear the entire jail. Good luck with that. That's why I told him in Atlanta, go ahead, get arrested. But Alvin Bragg, Judge Merchan put the gag order on Donald Trump. Now, what are gag orders for? Does everybody know? And again, this is like Alvin Bragg is prosecuting Donald Trump for a federal offense when he's not a U.S. attorney, which makes the trial... The charge, the process, completely invalid and should be overturned by any appellate court. It should be overturned by Merchant. Merchant should be looking at the charge going, this is a federal charge. You have no jurisdiction, Alvin Bragg, but he's not. It's like I told you. Everybody thinks that there's going to be a white horse or a magical they that's going to come in and save you. There's nobody to save you when it's a blue jurisdiction, blue judge, blue jury, blue prosecutor, blue appellate court, blue cops that are just going to come and enforce whatever the blue judge tells them to enforce. Who's going to save you? That's why you better get out of these blue states. But what is a gag order for? It's absolute lawlessness. Gag orders are for the prosecution. They're not, have nothing to do with defendants. You're telling me that a defendant doesn't have his First Amendment, 14th Amendment rights, Fourth Amendment rights, due process rights, free speech rights? The defendant can do whatever he wants. He can criticize the judge. He can criticize the judge's adult daughter. That's because that's the reason why Donald Trump's got this gag order is because of threatening the judge. He never threatened the judge. He said what Lauren Merchan, that's the judge's 30-something-year-old daughter. He said what she was. She runs a company that runs political campaigns for Democrats, and she's made $100 million off the case. It's an absolute fact. How's that a threat? How's the truth a threat? Same thing that goes on, all of that. We got to redact this because it's a national security threat. You don't need to redact it because it's a national security threat. You need to redact it because it shows your own personal malfeasance or misfeasance. Anthony Fauci, Lloyd Austin, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, FDA, Francis Collins, Rochelle Walensky, you're sequestering information, redacting information, classifying information, not for national security reasons. That's what you say the reason is, but it's to cover for your own criminality. At maximum, your own criminality or your own stupidity at minimum. But the gag order's for the prosecutor. So the prosecutor doesn't prejudice a jury pool. It's got nothing to do with the defendant. The defendant is not allowed to talk to people once they're in the jury, but he's allowed to make public statements. He cannot tamper, obviously, with the jury, but it's not jury tampering to make public statements unless you're the prosecutor or the judge. The gag order is for the prosecutorial side. Always, every time, 100% until now. The White House, somebody's going to ride in and fix this. Who's going to fix it? It won't be fixed till it gets to the SCOTUS if they take it. And who knows what Joe Biden's going to try. If we don't win this election, who knows how many people will actually be on the SCOTUS? 74? 74 Republicans? 74 Democrats and six Republicans. And of that six, only four are solid as he tries to expand the court. So here it is, Kyle Becker video breaking. So according to Alvin Bragg, Donald Trump has broke the gag order that he's constitutionally not allowed to have, just like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro arrested for not obeying subpoenas that were not allowed to be issued, that were unlawfully issued by the 1-6 committee. So Alvin Bragg is enforcing a gag order that constitutionally and federally and statutorily is not allowed to exist. Play for me, Heather.
31, we got some news from inside the courtroom. Apparently, the district attorney's office has filed a written motion, so they have made it official to try and hold Donald Trump in contempt for violating the gag order that was put onto him by the judge. I guess there were three allegations that the state made yesterday, and if the allegations hold up, Trump would be fined $1,000 for each violation.
That's right.
So I already told you everything on the video. I don't have to go anymore. It's just unlawful. It's all unlawful. He's enforcing a gag order that's not allowed to exist. So let's look at Alvin Bragg here, Twinkies Bragg. And from the picture, Aaron, could you show that just for everybody to see? Right there, there you go. Just so you, that's Alvin. Here's Alvin. Now, that's why he's called Twinkies. This is a man who never misses a meal and, of course, never mixes in a salad. GOP video, instead of protecting New Yorkers, and prosecuting violent criminals, Bragg is pursuing a politically motivated persecution. And that's what it is, persecution via prosecution. Again, just in case anybody missed it, this is a man who 52% of the felonies that came across his desk in 2023, he lowered to misdemeanors. But Donald Trump, who gave $130,000 to Stormy Daniels sometime in 2000, 11 days prior to him being elected, so somewhere in late October of 2016, 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago, 8.5 years ago, nobody, 8.5 years ago this occurred. He won't protect his own people, lowering felonies to misdemeanors. Crime is rampant in NYC. And don't listen to Eric Adams. It's all just, our numbers are down. No, you know why Eric Adams can say that his murder rate's down, his armed robbery rate's down, everything else? It's because he's no longer reporting it to the UCR. It's officially down because I don't report it. So look at the UCR, everybody. It's down because, I don't report it. That's just a side note. I don't report it. It's not really down. It's just you don't report it. It's the same thing at the border. Only 17,000 people crossed the border today. No, actually, 34,000 crossed the border. 17 were documented. The other ones were funneled through the port of entry, loaded onto buses and planes, and flown into the country. That's how they do the numbers. Oh, it's way down. Well, the numbers aren't down at the border. They just redirect them so they're not officially counted. That's all Alvin Bragg is doing. So here he is. Instead of protecting New Yorkers and prosecuting violent criminals, Bragg is pursuing a politically motivated persecution. Millions upon tens of millions of dollars going into this while his city burns to the ground. Play for me, Heather.
He cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct.
From mayhem on the subways to unprovoked attacks on women to a young police officer shot and killed in the line of duty, these headlines and viral videos paint a picture of a big city with a big problem.
Crime scenes have become familiar in many neighborhoods.
It's just getting worse. It's unbelievable.
The crime has increased a lot. We are scared to get on the trains and something might happen because somebody has guns, somebody has a knife, you sit by the door, somebody can get you, slice you on your face.
Hey, Brad, can you respond to those who say that this looks like a report?
Big Alvin, he's a wide load. It's funny how they all just have this in common, isn't it? Letitia James, large and in charge. Fannie Willis, large and in charge. Alvin Bragg, Alvin Tweaky's Bragg, large and in charge. These people want to run your life, and they can't even run their own diet. So in case you're wondering, is any of this true? Now, I'm not focusing on the murder rate right now, not focusing on the armed robbery rate. They've had more people pushed into trains. There's people standing there waiting for a train, get pushed right in front of the train and die. They had more of that happening than any time in New York City history. Absolute criminal debacle inside of NYC. Laura Loomer video, exclusive video. I just interviewed. This is what Alvin Bragg is ignoring while he prosecutes Donald Trump for a clerical, it's not even a clerical crime, a clerical incident from 8 years ago, over 8 years ago. Let's see, October, November, December, January, February, March. Yeah, a year, four, 8.5 years ago. And this is what's actually going on in the city. Play for me, Heather.
So here in City Hall right now, there's a bunch of African migrants from Guinea who are here today to try to get work permits. And I spoke with some of them. They're all Muslim. And they told me that they are here illegally. They came in through the Mexican border. Many of them came through Arizona. And they're here trying to get asylum. This is now becoming a normal scene in New York City, out in the middle of City Hall. This is literally 2 minutes down the block from where President Trump is on trial right now. These are all legal aliens. And I know so because I just interviewed them. They're all Muslim too. I mean, look, you can see this guy here. He's wearing a shirt that, a hat that says Islamic Relief.
Ken Tarnal, a migrant from Venezuela, also living at the shelter, was arrested Tuesday for disorderly conduct.
There's a guy who's unruly. He's getting very violent with everybody. He's throwing stuff at everybody.
It happened after a dispute between migrants and staff. Police body cam video shows Arnal pulling away from officers and this woman blocking the police car door. Police say at one point she attempted to strike officers. She too was arrested. Arnal says he acted out because he's fed up with his rights being violated.
They enter our rooms without knocking. They enter, search through our personal belongings when we aren't there, our money and jewelry.
The individuals that we're talking about and what's happening at the Ramada Inn appears to be limited to a few people who just frankly aren't happy with some of the rules.
Rules include no unsafe appliances like hot pots in the rooms. Police say officers responded to over 100 dispute calls at the shelter since last May, when over 250 migrant families moved in. We're told no complaints of theft were made, but it's now being investigated.
Or anybody, there's no commenting on it. So I just want to show you the Libs of TikTok video right here. This is hundreds of criminal illegal aliens swarm City Hall in New York today, reportedly to protest their housing accommodations. They, you know, Aaron said it during the video where the guy was complaining about his rights being violated. You don't have any. You're illegally. Your right is to be deported. That's it. And all these people need to be deported. And as Shia Raychek says, Libs of TikTok, appears to be mostly, and if we all look, let's find the women, shall we? Let's add them up. Aaron, you look, I'll look. I may have seen one so far. These are all appear to be military-aged men, all from Africa. Weird, isn't it? And they all decided to swarm City Hall. See, everybody thinks, you can just leave it side by side for just a second. Everybody thinks that we are miles away from being Paris. We are not, folks. We are not. We have 100,000 military-aged men from China alone have illegally invaded our country. In my opinion, at the order of Xi Jinping. So if they ever want to do something, they have their infiltrators in place to go ahead and take action. And all the while, Democratic Party politicians are allowing them in the military and allowing them to gain access to firearms. They don't have military rights. They don't have Second Amendment rights. They're not Americans. They are all here illegally. You pull it up, whether it's Dick Durbin or other Democratic Party politicians. They are trying to advocate for these military-age men to go into our military and to be armed, just allow them to have Second Amendment rights because they have a four-digit Social Security number, the last four digits of a Social Security number, and they're registering them all to vote. You don't think that's true? I mean, some of you probably don't think that's true. You think that's hyperbolic right-wing conspiracy theory. It is not. They're doing it right now in Texas. All you need, you can bring it back to me, all that you need to vote in New York City is a driver's license. They're giving them a driver's license. Aaron, I played the video.
Yep.
They're giving them a driver's license. In the state of California, all you need is a driver's license to vote. You get a driver's license as an illegal alien there. So, and they'll say, well, we're not causing any of these people to vote. No, you're just giving them the ability to vote. You're not causing them to vote, but you're giving them the ability to vote, knowing they're all going to vote Democrat. You're wondering why we get absolutely smoked in California? That's why. California is not that blue.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go to Illinois, even if you go to New York, it's really not that blue. They run fraudulent elections in their urban centers. That's all that they do. You really think that Oregon is blue? Washington is blue? No, there's Portland and Olympia. That's why they're blue. They run fraudulent elections through their urban centers. And they part of what they do in the state of Texas, 250,000 people have registered to vote there using the last four digits of the Social Security number. What do they give you in this? What does the CBP and Trump judges give you when you illegally invade our country? A Social Security card. And you have the last four digits of a Social Security number that you can register to vote. Well, we're not telling the Democrat, we're not telling them to do that. Yeah, of course. Yeah. There's always this sort of veiled, non-existent, plausible deniability. But that's what's happening. Unless it's dealt with by Laura Trump and the RNC, we're going to lose in Texas. We're not going to win this election, folks. I'm telling you. It's already planned out by Mark Elias, what was called their Transition Integrity Project.
Yep.
That was what overturned the 2020 election. It was all planned out in advance. Transition Integrity Project. John Podesta played Donald Trump in their wargaming activities. They had their tabletop exercises like Event 201. This was the Transition Integrity Project, where they planned on stealing the election. I'm not going to get into it with the seven cities and the six states. You know this if you watch this podcast all the time. But that's what's going on here. They'll say we're not causing anybody to vote. No, we're just giving them the ability to vote. And they vote big time because they have family members that they want to allow in. This is not safe. You're gonna put people we have absolutely no idea who they are in the Marine Corps with access to M16s and military training on our bases. We've already had at least one terror event from an Islamic terrorist on a military base. We've already had that happen. Here's more on Alvin Bragg. Is we on the right one, May's video?
Yep.
Okay, good, because that one isn't it, is it? Okay. Alvin Bragg video, no one is above the law. Play for me.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth.
All right, you need to find the video. It's a May's video. That's the wrong video, folks. Sorry, that's supposed to be for the post game. I don't know how that screw-up happened. This is a May's video. Alvin Bragg, no one is above the law. It's got nothing to do with that video. Not one. That video does not correlate with this at all. Doesn't have any of that verbiage. Nothing. Heather, let's just switch up. Let's go to the next one. Just switch. You get off. There you go. Now, we all heard about this priest. Now, here's the thing with the priest. I'm not much The priest who got stabbed. Just so everybody knows, crash video. Sidney Priest. Don't, pardon me if I get the name wrong. I've watched this guy. I love this guy. I'm not much for all the religious stuff and the robes and the garments and all those different things. But this guy is solid. Anti-COVID vaxxer, anti-lockdown, anti-COVID agenda, knows about the Mark of the Beast, knows about the Book of Revelation chapter 13 and 14, knows about the Antichrist, Antichrist spirit, Beast 1, Beast 2, the dragon. This guy knows it all. So, of course, now he is a target. And his name, Sidney Priest, Sidney, Australia, Mari Emanuel, he was attacked. Now, they were trying to cover for him. And nobody has released the name. As of my research, nobody had released the name of the attacker yet. But we now know that it was a Muslim extremist terrorist. So here's the attack. Play for me. All right, Mari Emanuel. There we go. So again, now we're always accused of being the violent ones. Now you saw in the pregame, who's the ones that are closing down bridges, causing people to die in the back of ambulances? Who are actually the violent people? It's always the left. We're accused of being the violent people while they're actually the violent people. Most of the black population is going to vote for Joe Biden. There's nothing we can do about it. A lot more black men are coming to Trump, as they should. But most of the black population will still vote for the people who kill them. Literally kill them. In abortion mills and via rampant crime, kill them. Via fentanyl poisoning, kill them. Fentanyl's killing whites, blacks, Hispanics, and everybody. I'm just telling you, 100,000 Americans per year. But the very people who kill them are the ones they vote for, because the left is always the violent ones, and the right never is. Never is. Seriously, never is. You're like, yeah, what about the extreme right like Adolf Hitler? Adolf Hitler wasn't a right winger. Adolf Hitler was a left winger, National Socialist Party, left winger, Mao Zedong, and the CCP and the PLA, guilty of killing 500 to 600 million of their people. Joseph Stalin, tens of millions of murders. All left wingers, while they simultaneously accuse you and I of being the violent ones. They're the ones who kill 41.2 million babies per year in the womb and say that Tom Lipley is killing people because his church is open during a 99.9% survivable virus plague. I'm the killer, right? And the only people that are committing acts of violence are them, the hyper-transgender community. There's a transgenocide going on. The only ones that are killing anybody are the transgenders themselves. They're not being killed. They're doing the killing while they're accusing us of killing them. And the transgenders and the queers for Palestine, which is hysterical. Who's doing all the killing? You're like, well, Israel has gone over the line in Gaza and they're committing genocide there. Well, first of all, the only people that are reporting that it's a genocide are left wingers. You may not agree with all of what Israel's doing, but you need to remember they were raided. There was a ceasefire on 10-7, and then 1,400 of their citizens, including 36 of ours, were butchered in a day, including beheadings and mass rapes. That's not happening from the IDF. You may not agree with all the IDF does. I may not agree with all the IDF does. Innocent people do get killed in wars, but the people who started it was Hamas. And the people who are the collateral damage and who are getting killed are the ones who celebrate in the streets for Hamas. Not saying it justifies everything Israel has done. I'm not saying that. Israel handled COVID terribly. Not saying, I don't defend Israel to the hilt, but I certainly defend them over Hamas and side with them basically over anybody. But I will also point out rampant stupidity. How in the world did paragliders pierce some of the most stringent air security on the planet? How did that happen? How is it that this whole Iranian attack, of course, this was another first by the Biden administration, first time in the history of the world since Israel has been reformed in 1948, that Iran has directly hit Israeli territory in response to Israel blowing up their embassy in Syria and killing a couple of their generals. right? Now, how did that work, by the way? Let me digress on that for just a minute as I will get back to the priest in just a second. But how did that whole attack happen? So you had Israel blow up the Iranian embassy in Syria, killing a couple of their high-ranking officials. Iran gives a 48-hour or 72-hour warning to our intel via Turkey that they're going to attack Israel, gave them the time, date, and what they were going to attack. That's exactly what happened. Via Turkey. That's why you heard John Cuckboy Kirby. He goes in front of the media and says, it looks like via our intelligence that Iran is going to attack Israel sometime over the weekend. Well, they did. Sent a bunch of drones that were easily plucked out of the sky by the Patriot Defense System and by the United States military. Easily plucked out of the sky. They knew it was coming. So what exactly is going on? Big picture? Well, you have the Biden administration simultaneously funding the Israelis and the Iranians. You got Kirby being asked about the money from Peter Ducey, the $6 to $16 billion that was released to the Iranians, and as Peter Ducey said, to Iranian leadership. Kirby goes, I don't know anything about that to the leadership. No, that's all for humanitarian funds. So here's the thing. If it's for humanitarianism, then of course the funds are always fungible. So if you have a $10 million budget for both food and terrorist weaponry, and we'll just call it weaponry. So you got to spend five on food, five on weaponry. Well, if you get the five for food because the Biden administration gave it to you, then all 10 goes to terrorism. Make sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. So no matter what, it all goes to terrorism, even though it's being carefully traced by the Biden administration, only going to humanitarian. Yeah, well, you just freed up a bunch more money to be spent on terrorism then, you stupid freaking idiots. Exactly. But it's not even stupid. They're doing it on purpose. They're funding both sides of the war. Who else is doing that? China with Ukraine and Russia? So what's behind big picture? I don't know. But I do know Hamas are rapists, child beheaders, and I stand with Israel. Simple as that. It's like, you know, what's behind all the politics in Arizona with the abortion ban? I don't care. They banned abortion. That's correct. Thank you. That's what you do. So back to the stabbing of the priest. I need that tweet that you just went past. Yeah, put that one up for me. So here it is, just so everybody knows. A devout Muslim. So the only people that are committing acts of terror are leftists. Muslims are leftists. Sharia law is leftism. It's Nazism. Just put under a religious umbrella. A devout Muslim Afghan asylum seeker in France is the suspect in a deadly stabbing attack in Bordeaux. This was a different crime, but it's the same thing. In the pre-stabbing, the witnesses say, or a witness said, that he was shouting Allahu Akbar in the pre-stabbing. So now you switch to France. I'm saying my point is all the violent acts are being committed by who the Queers for Palestine are supporting. Queers for Palestine and all these pro-Hamas protesters shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge, shutting down O'Hare Airport, the road into O'Hare Airport, and other locations. They're the violent ones, and they're claiming to want to stop genocide while they themselves commit genocide. While wearing a, whatever that is, KF, Ahmad Sabor Hamraz allegedly stabbed two men, killing one for drinking alcohol on EID, a holiday marking the end of Ramadan. So who's committing the violence? The very people saying that they're against violence, the same way every time. You and I don't commit violence. Us on the right, we don't commit violence, except if it's self-defense. The people that commit violence are the people allegedly against violence. The people who are fascists are the ones who call themselves anti-fascists. Let me do Midas Gold real quick, Aaron, if you could throw that up for me. Midas Gold Group, give me 60 seconds on this, and then we're going to get back into Chicago Hamas. My one and only sponsor, Midas Gold Group. Really appreciate this company. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring us. Really do appreciate it. This is a MAGA company. This is not a conservative company, Republican company. They're just like you and I. This is a MAGA company. The greatest thing about this company is all of their gold is physical gold in your hand. Not phantom gold accounts, not phantom gold IRAs, real gold in your hands. Even the IRAs, you want your gold, it's in your hands, in your safe, in your hands. We all need to be buying gold right now. All of us, you need to be buying gold. The United States, while they're purposely Our own Federal Reserve is purposely inflating our currency. Joe Biden is purposely inflating our currency. The BRICS movement is trying to crush the dollar, de-dollarize the globe, and devalue the USD while simultaneously buying tons of gold. So what all of these people, these globalists are saying is that gold is going to be worth something even if we crush currency. So all of us need to be buying gold. I'm buying it. You buy it. When you buy it from Midas because they're just like you and I and tell them that TLP sent you. All right, let me go to this one. Glockford Files videos. Democrats learn. Here we are, Chicago, Illinois. Sweet home, Chicago. Democrats learn to chant death to America at a conference in the Marxist utopia of Chicago. Glockford Files video. Play for me, Heather.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg Bar.
Marg Bar.
Marg Bar Israel.
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 Thank you.
What does that mean?
Oh, so it has two meanings, depending on the answer. It can mean death to or down with. So
can we get a Marg Bar Amrita?
We can get a Marg Bar Amrita. Yes, we can. Marg Bar Amrita.
Marg Bar Amrita.
Marg Bar Amrita.
Marg Bar Amrita.
Thank you.
What a bunch of wretched people. Those are all Americans right there. And I want you to see this picture because, again, I like to draw it all in and show you that it's all one agenda. If you're dealing with Sharia law, it fits right into the globalist, bourgeois, leftist, elitist. Use Islam, use radical Islam to usher in their agenda. Look at all the people. Now, what is the date? Today is what, the 16th? 16th of April, 2024. Yeah, it's perfect, Aaron. Thank you for blowing that up. Everybody in the room is masked. It's all the same agenda. Sharia law. If you love Sharia law, you love masking. If you love abortion, you love social distancing. If you love communism, you love vaccinations. It's all the exact same agenda. You might be a conservative. You're watching like, I like vaccinations. Well, you bought into it. You bought into it. If you got COVID vax, you bought into an agenda that was being preached to you and forced upon you, leveraged upon you by the Antichrist spirit and the globalist left, which is and possessed by the Antichrist spirit. Everybody just leave this up for me the whole time. So imagine being there, also giddy and little. You know, it reminds me of like stupid little teenage camps where absolutely nothing means everything and everything means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And these, oh, you're being taught death to Israel. These are the people that are trying to stop genocide. All these masked people that care so much about their own health butcher the unborn by the tens of thousands. 500,000 black Americans butchered in abortion mills every year. 1.2 million Americans butchered in abortion mills every year. And these people are fighting for people's lives. Every time I hear one of these people saying that they fight for people's lives and they're trying to save kids, I send them a picture of an unborn child and say, what about this one? These advocates for women. How are you an advocate for women when you are in favor of 500,000 women being butchered in the womb every year in America alone? 20 million worldwide. How are you an advocate for women? Exactly. Women's rights. What about the rights of the women that you aborted? But just to show you that it's all one agenda. If you love masking, then you are definitely going to fit right in with Queers for Palestine. This is all one agenda. The agenda is to leverage you into a one world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by Magbar here. Teaching, and they're also getting, oh, I forgot to say, it means down with or death to. Let's do death to America, says the Americans. It's where we're at. See, listen, no violence, none. I don't want any violence. I'm talking about we don't need to do a daggum thing these idiots tell you to do. Those of you, if there's maybe a few that are watching, what I call CCCs, COVID-caving conservatives, COVID-caving Christians, these are the people that were giving you orders to put your masks on, lock down your churches, stand 6 feet apart, buy an electric vehicle. These are the same agenda. Did you listen? And as if you did, you need to say those vaunted three words, I was wrong, and stop listening. Ian Miles Chong video. This is the next one, Heather. Protesters block entrance to Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Play it for me. People were having to get out of their cars. There's video footage of all this stuff. I'm sure you've seen it. People were having to get out of their cars right there and walk all the way into the airport because of these people. And once again, notice every last one of these people is masked. It's April 16th of 2024. We are now, let's see, 4 years and a month into 15 days to flatten the curve. Right now, exactly 4 years and a month into 15 days to flatten the curve. 49 months, I believe, into 15 days to flatten the curve. Can you imagine that? And here these people are wearing a mask, and they're definitely 6 feet apart because they've handcuffed themselves underneath those sleeves. Outside. Great job, Christians. Great job, pastors. Please, Pastor, if you haven't admitted to it yet, why have you not admitted that you're a COVID caver? And you'd better start repenting of it because you're going to fall for the next thing. All right, let's go to the next one. End wokeness tweet. Here it is. One of these groups, here's how our criminal justice system works. One of these groups, the one to the right there, is pro-life, and the other people are the ones shutting down the airport. Oh, no, shutting down Golden Gate Bridge. One of these groups was allowed to block the Golden Gate Bridge today. How are you allowed to block a bridge for 5 hours? In San Francisco, California, how are you allowed to block a bridge for 5 hours? Because the cops and the mayor want you to. That's why. If this was Sarasota County, Florida, that protest, and I knew I should have loaded it because it would help me. They have video footage of they had tried to do this in Florida. Notice how none of the Florida films made it onto the national media, not on Twitter, of these, because they tried to do this in Florida too, these Free Palestine, these pro-Hamas protesters. They tried it in Florida too. You know what happened in Florida? They were all dragged off the road and arrested. That's it. If they didn't comply, dragged off the road and arrested. There's no video footage of them doing this in Florida. Did you notice? There's major cities in Florida. Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville, Orlando. Forget it. Didn't happen there, did it? Why are they allowed to sit on a bridge for 5 hours with a police force of thousands? All you got to do is come up the opposite way of the bridge with, I'm looking at the protesters. Looks like we'll give them max numbers of 30 people. All you do is come up there with two paddy wagons, fill them all up and drive them out. They didn't do it for 5 hours. People sat there. I think this might be in the post game. 5 hours people sitting in their cars. How do you go to the bathroom? 5 hours. Think about that. What are you going to do? Leave your car? Walk off the bridge? You can't. What if they open up while you're gone? Your car's sitting in the middle of the road.
Right.
This should have been ended in 30 minutes. 30 minutes. All that it takes. Believe me. Tom, how would you know? I was a cop for 25 years. I know. 30 minutes. Over. I can just picture it right now. I used to be night shift supervisor right here in Sarasota County, Florida. We got protesters out there blocking I-75. I-75 is what, four lanes, right, Aaron? Is it four?
Yeah.
Three or four lanes?
At times, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, it's big. All right, I-75. Got people blocking it out at Clark and 75, Sarasota County, Florida. I was dispatching my guys, get them off the road.
Yep.
That's it. We had a guy one night, Sarasota County. I'm walking, he went, lost his mind, walking down the road, walking down I-75. Walking down the middle of I-75. Did I stop all the traffic? Yeah, for about 30 seconds. Put them in handcuffs, drove them to the nut house. That was the end of it. That's how people were inconvenienced. They were inconvenienced for about 30 seconds to 90 seconds. Done.
Yeah.
That's what should happen here. But London Breed, mayor of San Francisco, she's in on it. Nancy Pelosi, in on it. All these people from San Francisco. Alan Schiff, in on it. Eric Swalwell, in on it. They're in on it. They want this to happen. It's all part of the giant agenda that I won't get into right now. But this never should have lasted for more than 30 minutes max. Let me do some vaccine stuff before we go tonight, which is dangerous for me to launch into this right now. Because the show's supposed to end right now, and I'm just starting vaccines, so watch out. But I had to show you this. I'm at least going to do this one. I'm looking at my pile here. I got to do a couple of these. I had to show you. Now, this first one's a little long. I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 minutes long. Aaron, do you see what it is?
5 minutes.
It's 5 minutes long. You got to see it, though. Chief Nerd video. Dr. Peter McCullough gives a master class on how to debate COVID vaccine safety with the Occupy Democrats Network. This is brilliant. Play it for me.
I want to talk about vaccines with you. Would you agree with me that the vaccines for COVID have done far more good for people in this country than not good? There are so many people still that say COVID, the vaccines have killed millions of people, that all these professional athletes are dying of myocarditis when it's just not true. So would you agree with me that the vaccines have done far more good for people than bad?
Well, what evidence do you have for that?
What evidence do you have that all these people are dying of the vaccines?
Well, let's just take safety first, because we always discuss safety before efficacy. Would you agree with that?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, right. So it doesn't matter how good a product is, it has to be safe. Would you agree with that?
I don't think there's any vaccination that's 100% foolproof safe. You know that.
Okay, but it would have to have acceptable safety. Would you agree with that?
It depends what your definition of acceptable safety is. We were in a global pandemic where at one point we were losing 5,000 Americans per day. So obviously these were extenuating circumstances, mm-hmm. but go ahead.
But what would be your definition of acceptable safety?
While I'm not a doctor and you are, I would say in my personal opinion, looking back on half the world being vaccinated, in fact, more than half the world, as you know, at this point, there is no direct evidence that these vaccinations people are dropping dead left and right. And as you know, specifically on right-wing media and right-wing talk shows, they claim that all these professional athletes are dying of myocarditis because of the vaccines when they don't even know if these people were vaccinated. They don't know their medical history. And it's frustrating for me, doctor, because I believe the vaccine saved my life. I believe it saved my parents' life. And in so many studies out there, you know, listen, you could, and as you know this, you can get COVID if you're vaccinated. It didn't give you a lesser chance of getting infected or giving it to somebody else. However, you are in so many studies that I've seen, and you can tell me if you disagree, far less likely to get the effects of having to go into the ICU or possibly dying if you were vaccinated. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. And here's the reason why. The prospective randomized double-blind placebo-controlled clinical trials of the vaccines never showed a reduction in severity. They never showed a reduction in hospitalization and death. And what's come out over time is the virus has mutated to become a much milder virus. So as the vaccines were rolling out, you know, we were being confronted with a less mild virus. A less severe virus, more mild. The other thing that happened is we learned how to treat the illness. Mm-hmm. So we treated patients early and we avoided hospitalization and death. So the two major things that save people's lives were having natural immunity from the first round of infection and then early treatment. What happened with the vaccines, remember, the vaccines came in late, you know, so we're already a year in the pandemic. We've been treating people for a year. Mm-hmm. The vaccines come in late. And in a recent paper by Norman Fenton from the UK, he's shown that there was tremendous misclassification bias. So when they declared that there was a epidemic of the unvaccinated, in fact, the hospitals weren't, you know, they had no idea who was vaccinated or not. They didn't have connection to the CDC vaccine records. They weren't going in the ICU and figuring out people on the ventilator who were vaccinated and who weren't. In countries that actually did have the vaccine status, like the UK, they found far more vaccinated in the hospital on ventilators and dying than the unvaccinated. And in a paper by Shretha and colleagues from the Cleveland Clinic, the lowest risk workers that they have in 51,000 workers are the unvaccinated. And with every single injection, one is more and more likely to get COVID-19. Now, the deaths that have been reported after the vaccine are unprecedented. Our safety system for vaccines records on average, half the country takes vaccines in the United States before COVID, records on average 150 deaths in a year on average. The COVID-19 vaccines roll out. And as we sit here today, Our CDC has verified 18,655 Americans dying after the vaccine. 1,150 die on the same day they take the shot. Some die in the vaccine center. 1,200 die the next day. Now, that's underreported by a factor in FDA testimony of about 30. We're looking, as we sit here today, at 550,000 plus Americans have died after the vaccine.
So
the pattern is seen worldwide. There are calls to pull these vaccines off the market. They're so grossly unsafe because people die quickly after taking them.
Oh, little Bri-Bri, you barked up the wrong tree, didn't you?
Ouchie.
That's what you call a truth enema. That's a truth rape. That is, you just got absolutely enemaed live, Occupy Democrats Network. So let's just go over this real quick now. The alleged, what Brian Shapiro goes, he says far more, the vaccines did far more good than bad. He's just, what is it like? I wonder what it's like to be somebody who just repeats talking points and mindless tropes. More people, they did far more good than anything bad. Far more good. They did far more good, didn't they, than they did bad? And Peter McCullough asks him, well, what evidence do you have? How does he answer that question? Brian Shapiro says the vaccines did far more good than bad. And then Peter McCullough asks him, what evidence do you have of that? And Shapiro answers, what evidence is there that millions died? We're not asking you about our evidence. We're asking about your evidence. Defend your viewpoint. You said vaccines did far more good than bad. Defend it. Please defend it. He can't. He just asked the question. What evidence is there that millions of... let's see now. 17... Actually, it's up to 20 now. 20 million excess deaths since 2021. No excess deaths in 2020. Fact. 19, none. 18, none. All the excess deaths began in February of 2021, and it's now added up to 20 million. Where do you get that from? Census bureaus, all the various country CDCs and NIHs, and the Society of Actuaries, which is health insurance, life insurance companies that are filing insurance claims. They're up by tens of millions. It's very easy to prove. And he asked him, Peter McCullough asked Shapiro, give us what's an acceptable, define acceptable safety. And he deflects. He doesn't answer. He never answers. He just starts talking about, I have a hard time believing this. Right? I didn't ask you that. Define acceptable safety. 99% survivability rate after the vaccine. 98% survivability rate after the vaccine. 97%. We'll never do it. It's just like they'll never answer the question. What's the acceptable amount to tax the rich? What is an assault rifle? What is problematic CO2? They can't answer any of those questions. They just regurgitate leftists like the agitprops that they are, tropes. He says that Vax saved his life. I'm estimating his age from 25 to 35. That Shapiro guy. Vax saved his life? That's akin to me running out in finding a shed in the middle of a lightning storm, a thunderstorm, saying, the shed saved my life. Did the shed really save my life? What's the odds of me being hit by lightning? What really saved my life? Odds? Or if I've prayed over myself, that saved my life? But what, and just taking God out of the picture for just a moment, what saved my life in the middle of that lightning storm was odds. What were the odds of that idiot dying? 0.1% at most. 0.1%. So the vax saved his life. No, what saved his life was this was a 99.997% survival virus. That's what it was. For anybody of 0 to 20 years of age, that was survivability rate. His survivability rate was better than the flu. So why does he never say that the flu shot saved his life? It's just like when Bill Maher is choosing to be wise, which is about 4% of the time. He did a poll. We played it on this podcast. 50% of Democrats believed that COVID was only 50% survivable.
Yep.
That half the people who got COVID died.
Yep.
So this idiot And here we are. This is this interview was 2024. This idiot believes that the COVID vaccine saved his life from a 99.997% survival virus. And that's post-infection survival rate. That's not overall population. 99.997% of people, 0 to 20, 99.98% of people up to 50 survived the virus after being infected with it. Not an overall population survival rate where there's people that were never infected. The people who are infected had that survival rate. Post-infection survival rate. And then he goes into, well, you have to admit that it lowers the risk of hospitalization and death. No studies have ever once showed that at all. It's just like I'm sure this idiot was on his Occupy Democrats podcast talking about how the vaccine initially, now he says the vaccines don't stop transmission or infection. Now he says that. But I guarantee you for months, while trying to get it mandated and forced down our throats, causing people to get fired, causing people to lose their business, causing people to not be able to conduct business, losing their careers over not being vaccinated, or dying because they wanted to keep their career, wanted to get onto a plane, and they're dead now because the idiots like this Shapiro dude. No studies ever showed that it stopped transmission and infection, but I guarantee you he's espousing that it did for months. And then, of course, Peter McCullough just starts quoting the studies. No study ever showed that it lowered hospitalization or death rates. That's why to this freaking day, the CDC, our own Centers for Disease Control, refuses to release the data, the death and hospitalization data amongst the COVID vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccinated. We don't know who's died after post-vax. How many people have died after post-vax? How many people were hospitalized post-vax? We don't know because they refused to release the data. That's a sign of integrity, is it not? That's a true sign of integrity whenever you want to not release the data. No, I can just trust those people. So, and then, of course, which just blows this guy apart. And, of course, you just always have to remember, he talks about, no, more people died of COVID post-vaccination than pre-vaccination. In the United States alone, if you go by the CDC data, which they refuse to release the vaccination death data, the vaccination hospitalization data, they refuse to release that. But we have the death data. We have numbers of people who have died. Of course, more people died post-vaccination than pre-vaccination. And this vaccination was so great, and it lowers the risk of hospitalization and death, according to Shapiro here. Then why in the world did, according to the CDC, did we have 300,000 American? And again, I always tell you this. I don't believe these numbers. I'm just telling you what they say. I'll just tell this to this idiot Shapiro from Occupy Democrats podcast. Why is it that 300,000 Americans died of the most severe variant, Alpha. Yet Alpha, Delta, Omicron, right? So if everybody, the most virulent, the most severe form of COVID-19 designed by Anthony Fauci in the Wuhan Institute of Virology was the Alpha variant. The Alpha variant killed allegedly, of course, again, I don't believe any of these numbers, 300,000 Americans, right? In 2020, the epicenter of the virus, building all these Army Corps of Engineer hospitals were being overrun, even though we have pictures of no emergency rooms ever being overrun, no hospitals ever being filled. We know all that, and we found them with all their false propaganda and their false patients and their false body bags and everything else. But more people after the vaccination, so 300,000 died pre-vaccination, the epicenter of the virus with the most virulent variant, and then post-vaccination rollout, 900,000 Americans died, three times as many. How does that lower? I mean, do these idiots ever look at statistical data, or they just regurgitate Democratic Party tropes and talking points? I mean, what an idiot. This vaccine saved my life. Vaccine didn't save your life any more than a shed would save your life in a lightning storm. What saves your life in a lightning storm is luck. You get hit by lightning, you're dead. But I mean, I'm not equating COVID-19 with lightning. Lightning is about 100% death rate. Not 100%, but close to it. But I'm just saying what saves your life there is you'll go, well, how many of you ever go to somebody? Man, I survived that thunderstorm. I survived it. I'll call Aaron. Hey, Aaron. Aaron and I live about 10 minutes apart, about 20 minutes apart.
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron, Tom, did you survive?
I survived.
You survived that thunderstorm that just rolled over, because we have about 500 thunderstorms a year here.
Ooh.
Aaron, did you survive?
It was close.
Okay, yeah, he survived. What, why did Aaron survive? Because the odds of him dying of lightning is nothing.
Yeah.
It was about the same as him winning the lottery. The same thing here with COVID-19. And again, not lightning is 100% deadly. COVID isn't. So it doesn't even equate, really. I'm just telling you on an odds basis here. What saved his life was odds, not him getting the ridiculous vaccination.
Yeah.
More people have died of the least virulent variant because they have antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome. More people, that when they were still releasing their health data out of Australia, they may still be doing, I don't know if they're one of the ones that cut it off or not. Canada's cut all theirs off. United States cut all theirs off. They refused to release the data, the vaccination, death and hospitalization rates of those who are vaccinated. They refused to release it. Now, you can really trust those people. But when they were releasing it out of Australia, more people have died of Omicron, which is nothing more than a scratchy throat and a runny nose. That's all that it is. More people have died of Omicron in Australia than Alpha and Delta combined. Combined. Because you are way better off being unvaccinated and having God's immune system fighting off the most virulent variants over Bill Gates's, Anthony Fauci, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca's vaccine fighting off the least virulent variant that gives you antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome, which is really a form of AIDS because you have no immune system. And every vaccination you take, you get another chunk of your immune system taken away from you. And I'm not saying this. That's what Peter McCullough said. So just one last bit of information here. Well, two more pieces of information. And he just eviscerates this guy. We're talking about when Biden came out, all these people came out, Dan Andrews, all these various leaders. We're having a pandemic of the unvaccinated. How would they know, since nobody knew who was vaccinated and who wasn't? Rochelle Walensky, on her way out the door, being the absolute vaccine pimping whore that she is, came out because she was finally put under oath, which is what we need to do with all these people. They need to be put under oath in Nuremberg-style trials. When she was put under oath, she said, I really couldn't say that it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated because we had no idea who was vaccinated, who wasn't amongst those hospitalized inside of the United States of America.
Yep.
And remember, they were counting people coming in with broken arms. Unvaccinated, they had no idea whether they were unvaccinated or not. They had like just a rush of traffic crashes in NYC. It was all counted as unvaccinated inside the hospital. It didn't matter what malady or what illness they had. But they had no ability to track it. But the thing is, Rochelle Walensky knew the entire time. They had no idea who was vaccinated, who wasn't vaccinated, and allowed herself. She herself said there was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Joe Biden said it. Kamala Harris said it. Fauci said it. Collins said it. They all said it, knowing full well. I mean, think about this. How many times did these people perjure themselves? How many people have they killed because of this? How many people have they killed with these vaccinations? Well, according to Peter McCullough, 550,000 Americans are dead so far from the vaccination. Where did he get that information from? Well, really simple. Because when you're talking about the VAERS system, V-A-E-R-S, Vaccine Adverse Effects Registry, S, I can't remember what the S is. But the VAERS system, which is run by the CDC, so that can't be relied upon, which only receives about 10% of the information, if that. There's supposed to be 11 veins that run into the VAERS system, the VAERS reporting system, but they only get a small percentage of that. And he just, of course, used simple math. If the VAERS says 18,000, you can times that by somewhere between 10 and 20, whatever he did. He has the real information because it's only a small amount. That's just 1/11 really of the information. Vaccine adverse event reporting system. I got it. Everything. I got everything right with the yes. I think I did. But anyway, so really 550,000 Americans are dead. Now, if you look at Edward Dowd and the Society of Actuaries, that's absolutely confirmed by life insurance companies. It's all confirmed. It's confirmed. So none of what this guy says is right. There was never a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It never lowered the risk of hospitalization and death. It never stopped transmission or infection. It did nothing but cause harm. Let me show you this in closing tonight. Vigilant Fox video. One more thing from Peter McCullough. Sounds the alarm on COVID vaccine-induced turbo cancer. Play for me, Heather.
The multi-hit hypothesis of oncogenesis after COVID-19 vaccination. What does that mean? It means the COVID-19 vaccines, largely messenger RNA vaccines, the messenger RNA itself can impair DNA repair. So it can actually begin to tip the scale towards cancer promotion in cells. The spike protein, the S2 segment, which one actually gets from the vaccine and not from the infection, the S2 segment in a paper by Singh and Singh from University of Pittsburgh appears to inhibit the P53 and BRCA tumor suppressor systems. Our natural tumor surveillance systems are impaired. And if one has a loss of function mutation in either one of these, a woman would recognize this as, quote, being BRCA positive. That would be a loss of function mutation in this surveillance system that could predispose somebody to a cancer, particularly breast and female reproductive cancers. And then lastly, a recent finding that the messenger RNA vaccines, both Pfizer and Moderna, have DNA process-related impurities. And at least four labs have described this, two papers, one by Spiegler and the other by McKernan, have identified elevated levels of DNA fragments and size of the fragments that are considered process-related impurities. They come from circular pieces of DNA used that have the code for the messenger RNA. They're in the form of a plasmid in E. coli. And the fragments that are detected are the SV40 enhancer, promoter, and origin of insertion, as well as an antibiotic resistance fragments that are used in the manufacturing process. The reason why SV40 is important, it stands for simian virus 40. This is a known proto-oncogene activator. So in summary, the COVID vaccines have at least three mechanisms by which they could start a cancer or they could promote an existing cancer, and it may occur more rapidly because tumor defense systems are taken down. That's what we call turbo cancer.
So there you go. Now that's why you're seeing turbo cancers. Imagine being as stupid as that Shapiro guy. Imagine being that stupid. Imagine being that stupid where the Society of Actuaries is telling you all these people are dying. Turbo cancer alone, three mechanisms, three ways the vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna can kill you. Just reading them real quick and I'll close it out. They impair DNA repair. So you have mRNA, which is a gene-altering drug, a gene therapeutic, which doesn't repair DNA. It alters the repair of DNA, i.e. freaking cancer. Then you have the S2 segment in the B53 and BRCA, which impairs, this is inside, the S2 segment in the B53 and BRCA inside the vaccinations, which impairs tumor suppression. So not only is your body not able to repair the damage that tumors cause, the vaccine causes your body not to be able to repair the damage that tumors are causing, they actually impair your body's ability to even suppress the tumors. Isn't that great? So your body can't fight them and your body can't suppress them. And your body can't repair them. I wonder why so many people are dying of cancer. Now, turbo cancer, which basically they had like a stage one cancer becomes stage four, or they come in with stage four and they're only 24 years old. Never has happened before. And then you have, of course, the coup de grace, the old simian virus. All of us know about that one. SV40, process impurities, DNA fragments from E. coli inside these vaccinations. Yo, all the Christians line up and take them. You have Christian organizations calling these vaccines a gift from God. A gift from God. Really, with DNA fragments in them and E. coli fragments in them and process impurities. And SV40 starts and promotes. SV40 absolutely prohibits your, it's tough to get it because all these words are negative, it prohibits your tumor suppression. So you put all of these what he calls three mechanisms together. They start cancer and they promote cancer and they disable your ability to fight cancer and disable your ability to suppress cancer. That's why we have 550,000 confirmed deaths. We have it from 25 to 64. Our excess death rate as of right now is 32%. 20 million excess deaths globally so far from these vaccinations. And we're only 21, 22, 23, 3 years and 4 months into it so far. And who knows how these effects will. You're supposed to have a 15 to 16 year basically blind study on these things before you ever release them. We didn't have 15, 16 years. We had 15 months. Brilliant. And all the people that pushed them, fantastic job. You better repent. You're responsible for killing people. All right, listen, I'm sorry to be such a negative Nelly here at the end. But, hey, real quick, I want to thank some people. Rumble Giving tonight, Flash River. Love you, man. You're always giving. Thank you, Flash River. $25. Tammy L. Mar Gritter, $20. Thank you. Nude Monk, $33. And I got new monthly subscribers, two from the McGroin Nation, my allies. My allies, the McGroin Nation. Pops McGroin, new monthly subscriber, thank you. Hopeful Theorist, new monthly subscriber, another McGroin Nation. Silent McGroin, new monthly subscriber. Like and share. Get this out to as many people as you can. Not too many people mixing in the Bible with politics is what we need to be doing. Because even if Trump wins, he's not the answer to life. Jesus is. So we need to be mixing all this stuff together, knowing that Jesus is always supreme and he's always the answer. Listen, I love you guys. 26 minutes into overtime, only supposed to go to 10 o'clock. One of the best ever post games in history is about to follow. You got to stick around for it. I'm back here Thursday night. McGroin Nation, pump it again for me. Love you. Thank you for all the numbers. I'm back here Thursday night, 8:30. Love each and every one of you. I'm sticking around for the post game. I'll be watching. Stick around and watch it with me. I love the post game. And I'll see you Thursday night, 8:30. God bless you. Everybody is captive to something. You will choose one of the three. God, the world, or the devil. You'll be captive to one of those three. You'll be captive to one of those. You need to choose your captivity wisely. Well, I just want to be free from God then. God, okay, free from God is hell. Free from God is hell. Why? Because every good and perfect thing comes from above. James 1:17. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. Anything that is so funny to me, because as people try to destroy America in the name of saving democracy, they destroy every good thing about the very America that hordes of people try to get into every day. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. So you're like, I just want to escape God. Then you escape every good and perfect thing. But you need to choose wisely. You need to know right now, what am I captive to? If there's other things more important to you than the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that you're in captivity to the world of the devil.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.